How do you do? Looking out for number one is the unspoken motto of many people today, an attitude that leads to self-centered behavior. The young man in this story was no exception after learning through experience that he couldn't count on anyone else. Well, he was wrong about that, as he learned when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in the history of broadcasting, brings you true life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Not only is Pacific Garden Mission the oldest continuously operating rescue mission in the United States, but in terms of the number of people served, it is one of the largest. Every day, hundreds of homeless people receive food, clean clothing, and a safe place to sleep, and all without charge. The mission receives no city, state, or federal aid, and yet no one is turned away. Financial gifts from our faithful supporters keep the porch light burning, and many volunteers help in various ways. The old lighthouse is open 24 hours a day, every day of the year, because an open door can be the difference between life and death to someone living on the street. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2,515 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hey, buddy. What's happening, dude?
Yeah, I was sleeping, Augie.
Wish I was. I'm down here in Chinatown and can't remember how I got here.
It wasn't me that dropped you there, man. I mean, the last time I saw you was when you got paid.
Can I crash with you tonight?
No, man. I got company. Try Ralph.
I wore out my welcome there.
Maybe you can find a room somewhere.
I'm broke, man. I ain't even got a quarter.
There's gotta be someplace you can go, Augie. How about your dad?
No way. His wife wouldn't let me in the door.
Well, I can't help you, man. Good luck.
Have you ever been there, alone at night with no place to call home, no one who seemed to care? The man in our story was only 15 at the time, not really a man at all. His own bad choices led him to his predicament, and only the right choice would lead him to safety. This is the story of that journey, the true story of August Peterson, right now on Unshackled.
I was born in 1959, the second of four children born to Mom and Dad before they divorced when I was five. We lived in Salinas, California. After the divorce, we rarely saw Dad because he was busy with his new family. Mom stayed single and concentrated on raising us kids. She was a nurse working the evening shift from 3 to 11, leaving us in the care of my older sister. As we got older, both of us rebelled. Mom did the best she could, but when she was at work, I came home from school, and I began running with a bunch of dopers who were smoking pot and dropping acid. My sister was addicted to heroin by then. At the age of 12, I bought my first bag of pot by lying to Mom. I told her I needed money to buy a basketball uniform.
Tudor, where's that basketball uniform you said you had to buy?
I don't have it yet, Mom.
Well, why not? I gave you the money.
I changed my mind about being on the team.
What did you do with the money?
I spent it.
On what?
Cigarettes and beer.
Tudor, I gave you $30.
I bought a bag of pot, too, Mom.
You bought marijuana? Don't you see what happened to your sister when she started using drugs? They're no good, son.
Oh, come on, Mom. Drugs aren't that bad.
They are, Tudor. You don't know what they do to people. I'm a nurse, and I know. You'll end up a waste product.
That's propaganda, Mom. I'm getting out of here.
You're not going anywhere. You can just stay home for lying to me.
It's Saturday. I'm not staying home.
You will.
Try and stop me.
Mom was right about drugs, but I was too foolish to listen. I was already doing my own thing, but still dependent on her to bail me out of bad situations. I started seventh grade, but quit halfway through. Being high was all that mattered. I was in and out of juvenile hall and got to know the police on a first-name basis. More than once, I flirted with death.
Man, I am really wasted.
You think it was the rot gut whiskey or the pills?
Both, right, Augie?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know how you can handle it, Augie. You took more than we did.
He's a party animal.
And he's really out of it. All he does is grunt.
Hey, Augie, wake up.
Hey, man, you could drop me off here. I'm going straight to bed. See you later.
Hey, where do you want me to drop you off, Augie? Augie?
Huh?
You want off here?
Hey, man, don't drop me off. I can't walk. Just let me stay here till I start coming down.
Oh, I think you OD'd, buddy.
Yeah, I'm scared.
All right, don't worry. I'll stay with you and keep you awake.
That was one of the longest nights in my life. I knew if I passed out, I wouldn't wake up. And today I'm grateful to the guy who drove around most of the night keeping me awake. One of my best friends wasn't nearly so fortunate.
Oh, my word. Your friend Danny was arrested for murder.
Danny?
Look at this. He and some other guys, they tried to rob an old man and ended up killing him.
I know those guys. They're all jerks. Why in the world did Danny ever get mixed up with them?
Oh, that's really scary, Tudor. It could have happened to you.
I never mess with those guys. They're always in trouble.
Oh, it's still scary. Right in our neighborhood and among your friends. Don't you see the danger?
Oh, Mom.
I mean it. I've been thinking a lot about you kids, and I'm not going to have the younger ones go the same way you and your sister went. We're moving to Montana.
Montana? No way I'm going up there.
Oh, yes, you are. Maybe we can get away from the drugs and crime.
So we packed up for the move to Montana, to a small town of 2,000 people where Mom was born and raised. My friends threw a party before we left, and I was so stoned I almost missed the bus. I continued to rebel by running with the wrong crowd up there, too. I made life miserable for my mother.
Must you be so hard to get along with?
I hate this place. Nothing but rednecks. Small-town hicks.
If you'd get a haircut, they might accept you.
Never. They're so out of it here. There's nothing to do.
You can get a job.
Doing what? Man, I wish I was back in California.
Well, why don't you just go back if you feel that way?
You mean it?
Yes, I mean it. I'll call your dad and see if you can live with him.
I didn't fit in at my dad's house either. Didn't feel welcome. I could sense that his wife looked down on me and my family. About a month went by. One night I came home late, so wasted that my mouth ran away with my mind. I said a lot of ugly things, and Dad threw me out. I lived with friends until I wore out my welcome. Then my father got me a job with a painter he knew. Two other guys worked on this painting crew. One was a heroin addict, and the other was an alcoholic, so I fit right in. I worked with them for about 6 months, still a party animal, foolishly spending my paycheck on weekends.
Hey, Augie, man, this is good stuff you got.
Yeah, nothing but the best for my friends.
You got it made, you know that? Good job, good pay, no parents to tell you what to do.
Yeah, but every good thing comes to an end.
How so?
The boss is taking the crew to Alaska to work. This is my last paycheck.
Why don't you go with them?
No way, man. Montana was bad enough. I hate the cold. Besides, I like it right here.
You party animal.
I'll drink to that.
Never a dull moment with you, Augie.
Two weeks later, I hit bottom. Funny thing. My money was gone, and so were my friends. The week before, I was number one on everybody's list. Now, I wasn't on anyone's list. I even lost my place to stay. That's when I found myself all alone in a bad part of town late at night. I was lonely, hungry, and tired, with no place to go. And all I had left was a dime. Enough to make one phone call.
Hello?
Mom?
Oh, is that you?
It's me, Mom. I want to come home.
Tudor, I'm sorry. I can't send for you. I don't have any money.
You mean you don't want me back?
No, Tudor. If I had the money, I'd send it.
You're just going to leave me here like this? Some mother you are.
Oh, Tudor.
I'll take care of myself.
Mom had always been there for me. Had bailed me out of jams many times. Now even she was letting me down. As I got off the phone, feeling more alone than ever, I knew that from then on, I had to look out for number one, because nobody else would.
How do you reach someone like August Peterson? In a moment, we'll hear the answer. Unshackled has been broadcast continuously since 1950, week after week, of testimonies about the goodness of God to a fallen, rebellious world. Many of these stories have been published in booklet form so that you can read for inspiration and then give to others who would also be encouraged. Some people use these booklets as a means of sharing the gospel with others, family members, friends, neighbors, even co-workers. And each booklet tells an unshackled story just as it was broadcast. And each booklet concludes with a prayer of salvation so that anyone can understand the gospel message and be set free. You can receive two of these booklets free by writing to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. These unshackled stories could change someone's life, maybe even your own. So write today. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I lived on the streets until I finally went to my father, who gave me a bus ticket back to Montana. After that, I never asked anyone for help, even though I began to understand why Mother wasn't able to help me. I slipped into the party routine, dating a girl named Jerry. We were only 17 when we were married. Not so much for love, but more out of fear of losing each other.
That was a great party last night.
Yeah, but I'm tired this morning. Stayed up too late.
Well, honey, take it easy today.
How hard is it to clean the courthouse?
Is Les pretty easy to work for?
He's all right. But he sure does bend my ear about Jesus.
Oh, well, he was nice enough to give you the janitor's job.
I think he just wanted someone to preach to. He even has a Bible study there before work. Guys come in. Hey, that reminds me. I told him I'd be there this morning.
Why did you do that?
I gotta stay on his good side.
You're leaving now?
Got to! Sorry, I'm late.
Hey, Augie, glad you can make it. We're looking at Luke chapter 9, and we're at verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?"
Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Take up your cross and follow Jesus.
Denying yourself is the hard part. We're so used to putting ourselves first. Okay, how do we do that?
The cross is where Jesus sacrificed himself for our sins. So maybe we're supposed to sacrifice ourselves, you know, set aside our own interests.
Okay, but how do you do that?
Love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive them when they hurt you.
Love. Love is the reason Jesus went to the cross, and he forgave us, the ones who put him there.
If we would share the gospel instead of the latest joke and pray for people instead of condemning them.
It's all summed up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation.
They prayed a lot that early morning group. I almost fell asleep every time. To tell the truth, I didn't really want to be there, but it kept the boss happy and me working, so I put up with it. After about 2 months of going to Bible study, the boss put me on the spot one day.
Hey, Augie, you've heard quite a bit about Jesus. Why don't you pray to receive him as your Savior?
Les, I'm not ready yet.
Don't forget what the Lord said in Luke chapter 11, verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth.
I'm not out to hurt anybody. God knows I'm okay.
You're not okay if you reject Jesus. The Bible said there is none righteous. No, not one.
Well, I've straightened out my life quite a bit from what I used to do.
You can't make yourself good enough for God, Augie. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away."
Yeah, I'll think about it, Les.
There's no sitting on the fence, Augie. You're either in or out.
That really bothered me. I knew if I died, I would go to hell. So I started paying attention in Bible study and started going to church with Les, looking for some loophole, some way to avoid a choice. Instead, I was convicted and troubled. One night, my wife and I watched an evangelist on television, and afterward, I knew what I had to do.
Scary stuff.
He's right, though. The wages of sin is death. I've learned that much in Bible study. My sinful life has earned me eternal damnation. If I die without Christ, I'll spend eternity in hell.
You really think so?
Yes. Remember that verse he quoted? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jerry, I have to ask Jesus to save me. I can't wait any longer.
Then I will too, Augie.
I was 18 years old the night we prayed, asking Jesus to take over my life. At the time, I didn't realize that Jerry prayed only to go along with me, not out of conviction. When I told my boss the next morning, you would have thought he just inherited $1 million. At Bible study, I was the one asking questions, devouring God's Word. I shared my faith with many and lost all my old buddies who didn't want anything to do with Jesus. 6 months later, my wife began to lose interest.
Augie, I want to go out. I mean, we haven't been dancing for so long.
I'd feel like a hypocrite if I went to a bar.
Well, now, what's wrong with having a good time?
It isn't that. It's, well, we aren't supposed to love the world and the things in it.
Well, I thought this fad would pass with you, but you're really serious about this, aren't you?
You mean you aren't?
Well, it's okay, but why do we have to live like monks? I mean, you can go to church and still go out and have a good time.
Maybe you're right. I'm not the greatest Christian in the world anyway.
You can say that again.
Hey, watch yourself, Jerry.
Let's just go out and have fun for a change.
But doubts crept in, and within a year, I was doing a lot of the things I did before I was saved. The first chapter of James in the Bible describes what happened very well. Verse 14 and 15 say, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." After a couple of years, my heart no longer responded to godly convictions. I was moved on to a better job, and then my old boss came to work at the same place.
Augie, good to see you, brother.
Yeah, how you doing, Les?
Oh, great. Hey, why don't you go to church with me tonight? We have a good speaker coming.
I can't tonight. I'm in a bowling league.
Don't let the world come between you and the Lord, Augie. He's a jealous God.
You can't lose your salvation, Les.
No, not if you really experience salvation, but you can lose your testimony. Don't cause the name of Christ to be blasphemed by your lifestyle. You have to stand before him someday and give an account of how you live.
I know. Look, I gotta run.
I'll be praying for you, Augie.
I carried on in my old self-centered ways, active in sports and a regular at the bars. Life was good. My wife and I never went to church anymore. We had been married 10 years when our first child was born. We had given up, but God had other plans, in spite of our unfaithfulness. We had 2 daughters and 2 sons, and I tried to be a good father. But my wife grew more and more restless. Jerry, I'm home.
Well, honey, how come you're so late?
Well, you know I play tennis with the guys after work.
Yeah, it's always something, isn't it?
What's this booklet?
Oh, some women came by and left it. They talk for an awfully long time. They offered to come in and talk to you.
No. They could be a cult.
Oh, they were real nice, Augie, and they seemed to know a lot about the Bible.
There's something different about this group. I don't remember what.
Do you care if I study with them once a week?
I thought you weren't interested in religion.
Huh, I guess I've changed.
I didn't know how lonely she had become because of my selfishness. She needed love, which they seemed to offer. She studied with them every week and kept asking me questions about what she was learning. I didn't like the questions, and I didn't know the answers, which bothered me.
How do you know that Jesus is God?
The Bible says so, Jerry.
Oh, come on, show me.
A long time ago, I could have answered that question. But I stopped reading my Bible so long ago, I wouldn't even know where to start. Why don't you go talk with a pastor about all this?
No.
Jerry, I'm telling you, what they're teaching you is wrong. There is a hell, and Jesus is God. He said, I and my Father are one.
Augie, they warned me this would happen.
What?
They told me if you don't believe the truth, I should take the kids and leave.
Don't you see that cannot be from God? In order to refute their teaching and expose the deception, I began reading the Bible. And I was the one who was convicted. God spoke to me through His Word, showing me how far away I had gone. One night I listened to a preacher on television who described me and my uncertainty. He said, if you're uneasy about your salvation, you don't have to be any longer. Just ask God to save you right now if you're not sure. God, I don't know if I was saved way back when. I don't know if I just need to recommit my life to you or get saved. But I do know that I want your forgiveness for the way I've lived. Jesus, I'm asking you to save me. I'll live for you from now on, and I won't turn back to my old lifestyle. The next morning, I told Jerry what I had done.
You know, I thought you already did that long time ago.
I did, but I knew I needed to do it again.
Well, I have to admit, Augie, I liked you better when you were going to church years ago. In fact, a few months ago, I prayed and asked God to change you back to where you were when we were attending church together.
You did?
And that same day, those people came to the house and left their literature. I thought God was answering my prayer.
He was. He used them to get me reading the Bible again.
Why are you so against them, Augie?
They're teaching lies, Jerry. I want you to stay away from them. Don't let them in our house again. A few weeks later, Jerry watched a Christian program on television that was discussing cults. When I came home from work, she told me what had happened.
Oh, Augie, I got saved. Wow, it's like a light came on. And now I know the truth.
Thank God.
You were right, honey. They are a cult. I called and talked with a counselor after the program ended. She explained everything to me. And then I prayed to receive Christ.
I'm so glad, honey.
Oh, honey, I've been telling everyone, my neighbors, people at the grocery store. I couldn't wait for you to get home. How could I have been so blind?
It's our own fault, Jerry. We didn't read the Bible. We quit going to church. It's like a garden. If you don't take care of it, the weeds take over.
Augie, I know I wasn't sincere the first time we prayed together. I was just going along with you, but do you think you're really saved the first time?
I talked to the pastor about that, And he said the evidence of salvation is that God brought me back to him. So I believe I was saved. But I did what was necessary when I prayed again. And I'm sure this time. I know I'm saved. And I'm committed to never turn back.
Augie, it's scary how deceived I was.
You're telling me? We're staying in church, and we will study God's word from now on. I'm still looking out for number one, but number one is in my heart. He is the Lord. He's the leader. And I don't mind saying we're completely dependent on him. For the past 9 years, we both taught Sunday school. And I'm part of a group that distributes Bibles to schools, hotels, and other places. I'm also serving in a jail ministry and at a rescue mission. I don't know where God is leading our family. But we want to be there, wherever it may be.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 clearly warns us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Listening friend, has Christ made you free? Whatever has you shackled, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you've never asked Him to save you, there's no better time than right now. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tell us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website at www.unshackled.org. If this program has made a difference in your life, please write and tell us. And please remember to call or write the manager of this station to simply say thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2515. Heard in the true story of August Peterson were Kim Rasmussen, Mary Skoll, Joanne Silvestrak, Eric Bradley, and Mike Baccarella. Original music, Ralph Coburn, sound Nicolosio, engineer Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. And we'd like to know that you listen and benefit from hearing these true testimonies, so please write today. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, or write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Anytime, day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.